Thank you so much for being here coast to coast in America on the radio and all the way around the world on the podcast. Do you want to know who God is? If so, then you've come to the right place. In a moment, I'm going to read our biblical text and get right into it. But first, do remember that in addition to God Is, beginning on Monday, I will be the host of a second radio ministry called Definition. Definition will air Monday through Fridays at 6:55 a.m. and 9:55 p.m. on WEZE, AM 590 here in Boston. For those of you on KDIA in California and around the world listening now via the podcast, if you'd like to hear Definition also, then write to me about it. I'll send you the link for the podcast. You could also stream it from the WEZE website, 590amtheword.com. Questions? I will answer them if you drop me an email or a note in the mail this weekend. Definition will differ in format and content from God Is, but it will be another means for me to communicate the truth of God's Word to people. I'm excited about it. A definition is the exact meaning of a word, and we'll pick specific words of the Bible, define them, examine what they mean in the biblical context, and then apply that word to our lives in a very pastoral and practical manner. Please join us. And should you wonder, will you continue with God Is? Absolutely yes, I will. God Is will be right here daily at this same time on this same station. I am adding Definition without taking away anything from God Is. I just wanted to announce this here because Monday is coming. So if you listen on WEZE, set your alarm for 6:55 a.m. and 9:55 p.m. on Monday, August 5th, for Definition. And now listen to Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Then the devil took Jesus into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to the devil, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Yesterday we read these verses, and I spoke with you about the scene set for us by Matthew in verse 5. Jesus goes with the devil into the holy city of Jerusalem, and Jesus stands on the pinnacle of the temple. We covered that verse in detail. If you were not here, get the podcast and get caught up over the next couple of days. Today I want to get us into verse 6. The devil says to Jesus, in a word, jump. How do we know the devil said this to Jesus? Well, Jesus must have told Matthew that this is what Satan said, and Matthew recorded it, and God preserved it for us. Verse 6, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And we can ask, what is the purpose that Satan had in mind for this temptation? What's the psychology behind it, if you will? I believe the purpose is this. Satan wants to sensationalize the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because if the devil can get Jesus to be only a sensation, then the ministry of Christ will fade and pass away, and Satan himself will live on enslaving people in sin. You see, the devil needs Christ to be God in human form in the briefest possible way. He has to deal with the fact that the Lord has come. God is with us. Jesus is standing right in front of him. There's nothing he can do about it except to hasten the death of Christ by getting Jesus to leap off the tippity top of the temple, splashing his guts along the Kidron Valley at least 450 feet. below. And I will define for you what I mean by sensationalize and sensation in a moment. But first, notice that the devil quotes Old Testament scripture in order to tempt Jesus. And as he does with us, the devil twists the Bible in a very crafty way. The verses that he quotes from come from the book of Psalms. It is found in Psalm chapter 91, verses 11 through 12. Let me read that for you now. "For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone." That was Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12. And this is tricky indeed. Remember back to the first temptation? In verse 4, Jesus quoted the Old Testament from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, quote, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Okay, thinks Satan. You, Jesus, said you live by the word of God. So then let me, the devil, quote from that very word. The evil one is trying to put Jesus in a corner here. And herein lies a truth that even some Christians either do not know or quickly forget. Satan knows the Bible very well. You may not, but he does. The devil knows what the Bible says, but he just chooses to disobey it constantly, as in always. Likewise, we can know what the Scripture says, but if we choose to disobey it, then we follow in the footsteps of Satan. It is not enough to know what the Bible says. We must internalize the message and do what God says to do. We should then follow in the footsteps of Jesus. If you've read Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, as I encouraged you to do, then surely you notice that Jesus answers the devil three times with Scripture. That is the weapon Jesus uses in order to defeat the devil. We should too. But first, you have to know what the Bible says and means by what it says. Like here in Matthew 4, verse 6, Satan quotes the reference correctly, but intentionally misinterprets it. Satan is saying, hey, listen to this, Jesus. Right here, let me flip to it. Oh, no need, I have it memorized. Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12, Jesus. If you jump, God promises to send his angels to you. They're going to catch you in their hands, and you won't even strike your foot against any of those stones way down there deep in that valley. Go ahead, Jesus, jump. I mean, you said you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Don't you trust his promises for you? Test the Father. Test him using his very word to you. I am sure he will come through for you, since you are his son. This, in my words, is what the devil is getting at. Satan twisted the Scripture then, right to the face of Christ. And Satan will twist the Scripture now, right to your face and to my face. And one of the significant and popular ways in which he does this today, at present, is to draw the global church into sensationalism. The first of the devil's temptations for Jesus that we have already discussed applied to the individual Christian. I use the example of temptation toward unhealthy relationships with food and drink and to illicit sexual relationships. And now the second of the devil's temptations for Jesus applies to the global church that includes all of the individual Christians. This second temptation is for us as a movement, for us as an international group of people, the church, genuine Christ followers from every tribe and tongue and nation. The evil one is leading us right into a big temptation, the sensationalization of the ministry of Jesus the Christ. So what do I mean by sensation, sensationalize, and sensationalism? I mean this, taken right out of the way modern dictionaries define this word in its various forms. The use of exciting or shocking stories or language at the expense of accuracy in order to provoke public interest or excitement. I'll give that to you again. This is Friday, after all, so you may be a bit tired from the week now ending. Sensation, sensationalize, and sensationalism. The use of exciting or shocking stories or language at the expense of accuracy in order to provoke public interest or excitement. And I'll be saying more about this next week, but let me give you an example of this within the church. I hope this will give you a sense for what I mean. We hear often about ministries that promote with great enthusiasm and excellent marketing techniques, quote-unquote, signs and wonders. In fact, every radio station that airs God is repeatedly promoting ministries that offer the church signs and wonders. Christians are invited to bring themselves and their friends to events, gatherings, church services, and revival meetings, in which a leader, often called an apostle or prophet, or perhaps a faith healer, will perform these signs and wonders. A prominent example is healing. For obvious reasons, this appeals to people who are sick, and especially to those who are really sick. No wonder this is popular. I've never met someone in the pain of a disease, even a temporary illness, who does not want to be healed. Have you? And so the promise is given. The signs and wonders of God will be on full display. If you'll come, the healer, this especially anointed man or woman of God, will heal you. And they'll remind you and teach you what it means to, quote-unquote, have enough faith. But if you'll have that faith, you will be healed, they say. This is one example of signs and wonders, which itself is an example of that which is sensational. In this case, it is the use of exciting and shocking stories of physical healing at the expense of accuracy in order to provoke public interest and great excitement. The expense of accuracy is what God promises concerning healing in the Bible is not the same as what these faith healers promise you. It is not. And so here comes the devil. What is he doing? He's making it seem that the sensational is going to happen. God is going to heal you, and you must be a part of it. But when you go, you find that the promises do not match the reality. You come home as sick as you were before you went. Satan wants to sensationalize the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because if the devil can get Jesus to be only a sensation, then the ministry of Christ will fade and pass away, and Satan himself will live on enslaving people. This is what this second temptation of Christ is about, and we will dig in deeper on it beginning on Monday right here, and I hope that you'll join me, for God is...